Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I am your host, Jody Sweeten.
I am your other host, Celia Behar.
Hello, Celia Behar.
Hello, Jody Sweeten.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. It's Monday, and it's been...
A Monday. It's been a fucking Monday,
you
guys.
You know, I don't like to... here's the deal. I try to give Monday the benefit of the doubt and be like, you know, look, Monday, you get a bad rap. Like, everyone hates you, and you suck, and you ruin everything.
Right.
And
you ruin our weekend.
You ruin our weekend, and, like, you make us come back and do things we don't want to do.
No.
So I try to be like, you know, I think that's just everybody's bringing some shit to Monday, right?
Sure.
No, Monday fucking sucks.
Yep.
Just shit goes wrong on Monday.
Shit goes wrong
on
Monday.
And I don't think that Monday understands that I am trying to play devil's advocate for it and save it. Instead, it just keeps fucking me over. And I have, now I'm like, well, see, now look what you did Monday. Now everybody hates you.
Yeah. Monday is the bastard stepchild that you're just like, you know what? I tried, but fuck you. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and we talked about this a little bit before we started. It was like, it's been one of those Mondays where you don't feel like you're in your body at the fuck all.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, how did I get? You said, you're like, I drove down the street and was like, how did I even get here?
I turned onto my street and I had left the house like an hour earlier I had to go do a self-tape audition and go do stuff, whatever. And like, I turned back down my street and I was like, oh my God, I'm here already. What happened? Wait, what? Like it was like I entered a completely new universe and I suddenly snapped back into my body and was like, oh, I don't think I'm really connected today. I'm definitely not present.
I told you.
To be present in my own state.
Yeah, I told you. I took yoga and I'm not joking. I was like in a pose and I heard my teacher say, so on this side, and I was like, oh my God, did we already do the other side in this sequence? And I don't remember it at all.
None.
And I had like kind of a mini panic attack where I was like, where the hell was I in the other side? And I did it obviously, but I don't remember it.
I'm doing it all the time. And I really start getting nervous.
Yeah, I know. It's honestly, I think a lot of like, it's Monday and you got a lot going on and we got changes going on and kids are about to go back to school and there's lots of things to like think about. I mean, this is our last week. I know we air later than everyone's going to hear, but it's our last week with our kids home.
Yeah.
There's lots of stuff to get done. And I feel like, you know, it's a different back to school experience as well this year.
Right.
So I think emotionally we're all like drained and feeling a little bit of all of that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, on most days I'm a shell of a human, but these days I feel it's a very like fragile candy coated shell that could crack at any moment.
I feel like
sweet when it does.
I feel like I'm a hermit crab, you know, like that, like his distance shell to like go find another, but I forgot that I dissed the shell and now I'm just like roaming around naked.
Naked thing?
Yeah. Kind of like I'm crawling around hoping that the sun doesn't just like kill me dead. That's how I feel right now. And I'll be, oh my God, her face, you guys, she's staring at me like I have 10 hermit crab heads. And then
I'm like, staring at you like you actually are naked, because I was like, what does that even mean that you feel like you walked up naked?
Like, I feel like I left my, I don't even have a shell. Like, I feel so vulnerable that I like, I'm like, I left my shell before I found a new one. And now I'm just like crawling around out there being like, wait, what? Please don't hurt me.
See, I feel like only a shell with nothing inside. Oh, so yeah, maybe together.
Oh, we can make a whole hermit crab.
Aww. Wow.
Was gross.
Something's wrong with us.
Oh, and we have a guest, and she just had to hear that, and I know. Even met her in real life. Now I just feel stupid.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Luckily, we get to go to a break then pull our shit together before our guest comes on, so that maybe we won't embarrass ourselves.
Oh, right.
We still will. Okay. But it's worth a shot.
Sure.
Anyway, just so you guys know, our guest this week is Elise Donovan, and you probably know her from being in a ton of films. Like Amber and Cher. Oh my God.
No.
I can't talk.
She's
Amber in Clueless, who was Cher's nemesis. I know. There were so many S's and things.
I know.
Anyway, so Elise Donovan is on this week. She is going to be back with us right after this break.
Woohoo!
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. That's Better, H-E-L-P.
We can all agree that life isn't exactly easy.
Yeah, we can definitely agree about that.
I mean, between kids and work and yourself.
Your significant other.
Stuff. I mean, there are so many things going on in all of our lives. Work, I mean, it's just so much to think about. And if there is something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, then you need to know about BetterHelp.
Yeah, BetterHelp provides access to a licensed professional therapist securely online, and it's just so easy.
Yeah, once you reach out, the experts at BetterHelp assess your needs, and then they match you with a licensed professional therapist who you can start communicating with in under 48 hours. So none of this constantly, you know, searching through lists, finding if people, you know, are available. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and one of the best things about BetterHelp is that you can log into your account anytime to contact your therapist and get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, and that's pretty amazing because that means that you never, ever, ever have to sit in a waiting room like you do with traditional therapy, which we all know is just a little awkward.
Just a little. Well, BetterHelp's goal is facilitating great therapeutic matches. So if necessary, it's easy to switch to someone who better suits your needs. Say, you know, you have your mm-hmm. first couple sessions and it's just not the right fit. BetterHelp will make sure that you get the fit that's right for you so that you can help your mental health.
Yeah. And one of the things I love the most about them is that it's more affordable than traditional offline therapy because they believe therapy should be accessible to all. So BetterHelp offers financial aid.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now, to get started, all you have to do is visit BetterHelp.com/say this. That's better. H-E-L-P to join over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with one of BetterHelp's experienced professionals.
BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier, more fulfilled life today. So they are offering a special for our Never Thought I'd Say This listeners. You get 10% off of your first month of BetterHelp.com/say this.
That's better BetterHelp.com/say this to get started today. Welcome back to Never Thought I'd Say This. I told you we had a very special guest with us today, and I'm very excited to introduce my friend. You probably know our guest from being in a ton of iconic films, Clueless.
Night at the Roxbury.
Oh my God, Beverly Hills 90210, uh-huh. Sabrina the Teenage Witch, all this stuff. But most recently,
She has released her first book called Wake Me When You Leave, Love and Encouragement via Dreams from the Other Side. Please welcome our friend, actress and author, Alisa Donovan. Yay!
Hi! Hi, ladies.
How are you?
To be here. I've been listening, and I also have had a Monday. It's also like, it's all like kind of a, you know, there's a sliding scale of a Monday, right?
So
my complaints about my Monday are very minimal, except that I just feel like, wow, I just tried to do too many things at the same time. And so I didn't execute very well, but it's Monday and I feel like, you know, I hear you.
Yeah. It's just been a day, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Now, Alisa, you know, we ask all of our guests, for their never thought I'd say this parenting moment, or really any moment at all, something that you just never thought you would have to say either to your kids, about your kids,
to your husband.
So we would love to have you share a never thought I'd say this to kick.
I obviously knew that you were going to ask me this, and I felt so overwhelmed by it.
Now, by the way.
Yeah.
The producer that was taking over, which was me, was really shitty. It was a terrible. We have a great one now named Sabrina, who actually does her job. Yep. That other one,
she was fired.
The thing is, I was so overwhelmed with answers that I started to, try to make a list and do things. And then we went on vacation. And then I went, how am I going to answer all this? Like, what is it? And then I just realized it's basically every single thing that I say to my child, except for because I have this whole idea of how, you know, I thought about how I would be as a parent. And the whole pregnancy process, as soon as they come out of your butt, like the whole thing is just a constant reminder that we have no control over anything.
Oh my God. Yep.
I felt like I had all these plans. I had a birth plan. I'm a very holistic person. I Eastern medicine is how I roll. Mm-hmm. My main doctor is an acupuncturist, you know, at Chinese medicine. So I had this whole plan. And then as soon as I went into labor, I was like, what the fuck is happening? And I'm in the hallway and I'm tearing off the heart monitor. And I'm like, where's the bathtub? And everyone is like, what is she doing? Where's the monitor? And I said, that thing that was in your, that was around my way, I got rid of that. And the nurse is like, where did you put it? Like, I don't know. Like I left it somewhere out there. Like I couldn't breathe. And then everyone, so that was the beginning of me understanding that, okay, you can make all these plans and then you just have to sort of deal with what's in front of you and deal with the individual that's in front of you, right? Like my daughter is, she's her own person. She's 100% who she is. And I love when I see things that I feel like are on my path of what I want for her. But then I also go, she's awesome. You know, she's like bringing out these things that I can't. So at any rate, I haven't answered your question. I will say, I remember when she was little, she's 9 now. She was in the, so maybe 2.5 or 3, we were driving around looking for a parking space in San Francisco. We live in San Francisco City. Parking, not easy to come by.
Just found a parking spot last year. So,
right, exactly. I'm still looking for the parking spot. And so we were driving in and she's like, where are we? What are we doing? I said, we're looking for a parking spot. Oh, well, where is the parking spot? Well, they're right here, but they're just aren't any available. Why? Well, because there are a lot of cars on the street and a lot of, why? Well, there are a lot of people that live in San Francisco and they come to visit San Francisco. Why? Well, it's a city and, you know, it's kind of a major city and people like to come to cities. Why? Well, they are, it went around and I literally said at the end of it, because the world is overpopulated and they need to stop procreating. And she went like this. And she was in the back seat in her little car seat and she went, oh.
Oh my God.
She was like, that's what I was waiting for. I was just waiting for you to give me a logical
answer. Right. Like
final answer.
All this other bullshit, mom, about San Francisco and the history and the
too many people.
And then, I just wanted to
Needed you to go all
too many goddamn people.
Just needed you to go all National Geographic on her. So you'd be like, this is why. It's a documentary series now. Sorry, this is
exactly now. It's a documentary series.
I mean, I've never. That's the thing about having kids, though, right? It's like you've never. I don't know. I never thought about most of the things that they've asked why about.
Right.
Why?
Right.
I don't know.
I don't either. I still don't know.
Because.
And then,
right.
And you wind up saying things like that. Like, well, it's just because that's the way it is.
Right.
And when I say that, I feel like that's so lame.
It's so lame.
That is not a good answer.
Because I'm the mom and I said so is something I thought I would never say. But it's like nine fucking times I'm telling you the reason. You don't accept the reason. And finally, I'm just like, because I'm the mother and I said so.
Yeah. Yes. No. That's exactly.
I do that all the time. I'm like, let's be. I'll be reasonable with you. Yeah.
Right.
Well, here's why. This is. But I don't understand. And I go, you know what? Okay, fine. Then I'm pulling the dictator card because I get to do whatever I want in this house.
Yes.
Or you know, when they say something about, well, my thing. I go, your thing.
Yeah. It's not yours.
Thing. Right.
Yep. I swear. I never say things like that.
I hate it. Light skin on the other day. I realized I'd become my dad.
Oh,
no.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you just
had this conversation the other. I just came back from a beautiful, lovely vacation that we take annually with two other families. One family has this home on this little island in Antigua, off of Antigua, and it's beautiful. And it was postponed a couple times this year because of the pandemic, the past year and a half. So we finally were all together, and it's like a magical trip. But we had these moments where there are five kids, and the three at various points had these issues with things. And each of us, the three moms, were like, because the grownups made a decision and that's what is final. Right. And all of them are like, so they're critically thinking and going, but I don't feel like that's a legit reason.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're like, yes, it is. Because we just know better. And then you get down this litany of things like, I know better. I'm older. I've been on the planet longer. I like all these things that
basically you're like proving yourself to a group of children. Like, I earned it.
It becomes like a fucking episode of Law and Order. Like, you're like in a court and it's like, dun, dun, and you're like, I'm going to present the facts. And either way, I'm going to fucking win. Gavel thrown. Get out of my room.
Right.
That is exactly what it is. It's like a Law and Order episode. Kids are like, these two families that we are so close to them, and the kids really love each other. They've known each other for many years. And we all live in different cities. We live in San Francisco. One lives in Los Angeles and the other's in New York. So the kids don't see each other all the time.
Right.
So they get to have their own lives where they're battling their own challenges and developmental things. And they come together and they just really get on well. And they have, you know, as they're growing, they have some issues with each other. And a couple of them are very competitive. My daughter is very competitive. Very competitive. And
I remember you telling a couple stories about that. And she,
yes. Like, this turns into something that, you know, on the one hand, the amount of times that she's going into third grade now, but the amount of times that the preschool teacher, preschool director, and her kindergarten teacher said to me, this is really going to serve her well when she's older. I don't even know how many times I heard that. Oh. And I'm going, I think that's great. But how about right now? Like, how do we handle it right in this moment?
I've said that to Zoe, where I'm like, you're going to be such a badass woman when you are, when you were grown. But God help me now. Because I'm like, now you're acting like a grown woman and you're not yet. Yep. And but you won't listen to the fact that I am. And so now I feel really frustrated. You know, having kids is just, it's this constant ride of like, and remembering all the things that, you know, you promised you weren't going to do, the things you weren't going to say, the person you weren't going to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am never going to, you know, say that something is just the way it is. My favorite was when my dad, I would want to go somewhere when I was young, and my dad, you know, inevitably had to take me somewhere. Like, I want to go to Thrifty. You know, can I get some ice cream? Or I want to get a magazine. Yeah. Whatever. And I remember my dad sometimes just being like, just no.
Yeah. Like, it's just a no. It's a no.
And I would be like, but why? But why not?
Yeah.
But why not right now? What are you doing? You're not doing anything. And it was like, asshole. That's the point.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm tired. I'm rested.
Yes.
Now I understand that. Like, no, just because.
Yes.
And you're looking at them as a child looking at that adult like, God, you must be so bored. Look at you just sitting on the couch watching.
Exactly.
You must be dying to go somewhere.
Right. You must be dying for that ice cream to go.
Like, I am dying to not
go. Yeah.
And the kids come in and are like, yeah, let's go do this. And you're like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
This is why, do you even remember the first time that I know both of you, your kids are older for the most part. Although
my youngest one is about to turn 10. So it's.
Yeah. So same, the youngest. Uh-huh. But I remember the first time I went away for work by myself. And it was like, what are you going to do? And I had to go to Toronto for this charity thing. And it was only for a few days. And Scarlett was really young. She was less than a year or maybe just a year. And I went, everyone was like, oh, go and see this person and you can do this and you can go there. Like, oh, you're going to have this free time. You only work a few hours this day and a few hours the other day. All I did was sleep. I got to the hotel and I turned off the phone and I just slept.
That's it.
And yep. I went, this is, and then you wake up and go, I have to do something.
Right.
Nope. No, I don't.
I don't have to do anything for anyone. Yeah.
I don't do anything for anyone.
My kids all had a meltdown yesterday. Me and my kids, we all started crying at different times yesterday. It was really bad. Mm. And at one point, it was just an emotional day for us. At one point I said to them, like, I just feel like a terrible mom. Like, I don't feel like I'm doing anything right. And I feel like a terrible mom. Yeah. And that's not on you. It's my issue. And later on, my youngest one comes in and she goes, Mom, I just want to say you're not a terrible mom. You're a really good mom. And I said, oh, thanks, Lulu. I don't really feel like that. And she goes, well, if nothing else, just know, like, you're not as bad as your mom. And I was like, wow.
They're
which is true.
So
with my mom,
wise, though, right?
But like, wow.
Like, they're
like,
so well, wise.
I know. I aspire not to be my mom for 1,000 reasons. So I guess I should take that as like the highest compliment ever.
I'd say you're winning.
I am. I'd say you're winning. I'm winning.
Well, Jody, you can have a dream destination, but still have a trip that's a nightmare if you don't pack right. And that's because one of the things that can make or break a trip is the luggage that you use. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever had luggage collapse on you, you know, it's not good.
Oh, the worst.
The worst. And that's why whenever I travel, I always pack my belongings in Away suitcases. Away is a modern lifestyle brand that creates thoughtful products for every traveler and every kind of trip.
They really are the best. Yeah. I use my Away case all the time, and it's perfect for like a weekend trip or even a week trip. I can fit quite a lot in there.
That's because they have started with the perfect suitcase that's crafted with features to make travel more seamless. And now when travel looks more difficult than ever before, I can always count on Away's range of suitcases, bags, and accessories whenever I go on a trip. It's kind of amazing, you know, whether your trip is going to your dream vacation in the Bahamas or a trip to the corner store, a weekend away, an extended stay with friends and family, we are all navigating the evolving landscape of travel. And no matter what your destination or style is, Away's suitcases, bags, and accessories all come in a variety of colors, sizes, materials to suit your needs and inspire future adventures. And let me just tell you, I was just on a trip with my Away bag, and it was amazing. I never had to worry about anything. Away suitcases are designed to last a lifetime.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
They are unbelievably durable. The exteriors can withstand even the roughest of baggage handlers. And let me tell you, I had a few of those. And every suitcase comes with an interior organization system that includes a built-in compression pad to help me pack more in it. And believe me, I packed more in it.
Oh, like I said, right? I am a notorious overpacker.
This I know.
I can fit so much in this suitcase, probably far more than I should be able to. Yep. But it's that little compression pad where you can just cinch it in there. ideal.
Oh, it's amazing. Plus, it's got that hidden laundry bag that separates my dirty clothing from my clean ones. Mm-hmm. And Away's 360 spinner wheels guarantee the smoothest roll, even through the most hectic of airport stations. And stations, rather. Away's suitcases are available in different materials like polycarbonate, aluminum, and durable nylon, as well as in a variety of colors and sizes. We actually have matching ones, but
we
have them in different colors because, you know, we don't want to be those people. Although, nothing's wrong with those people. We're just not them. Not only that, Away products are designed, like I said, to last a lifetime, and they will. So if any part of your suitcase breaks for any reason at all, Away's standout customer service team will arrange to have it fixed or replaced.
There's a 100-day trial on everything Away makes. So take your Away suitcase out on the road, live with it, travel with it, you know, get lost with it for 100 days, whatever you do. If you decide that it's not for you, you can return any non-personalized item, non-personalized that is, for a full refund during that 100-day period. No ifs, no ands, no asterisks, buts, nothing.
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 All that, and Away also offers free shipping and returns on any order within the contiguous, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
US, UK, Europe, and Canada.
Yeah, and I'm just also going to throw in real fast that it has a charger in it for your phone, which I'm a little obsessed with. So you can start your 100-day trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases at awaytravel.com/say this. That's awaytravel.com/say this.
I really want to talk about your book,
so do
because
I.
You, it, it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, well,
when you read, and it tells this beautiful story of the visitations and dreams and synchronicities that have, you know, made you realize that even after somebody dies, that they're kind of always there. And I love hearing about this stuff. It's so beautiful. And your journey of finding yourself after that loss. I would love to know more about it. So
what inspired you to write it?
Like, so basically when I was shooting Sabrina, the Teenage Witch, the series, and it was in the spring when the season was about to be over, the relationship that I was in with the person I thought I was going to marry ended. It was a mutual thing, but I was devastated, like, oh, this is not going to work. Like, this is not going to work. The show gets canceled and I don't get another job. You know, Jody, you know what it is. So like, I tested for, I think it was 10 or 11 pilots that year while doing Sabrina. And then I find out Sabrina's canceled because you're doing it like, oh, it's in second position. It doesn't really matter anyway. And then Sabrina's canceled. I don't get any of the shows. The relationship ends and my dad gets diagnosed with cancer. And it all happened in like, boom, boom, boom. And so I went from, and then my dad passed away very quickly within 4 months he passed. And my whole life just was completely flattened and turned upside down. So I went from understanding where I thought I was going, who I was, what I cared about, to literally having nothing. And it just started this whole period of time where I was adrift and lost. And my dad started to come to me in these visitation dreams, which anybody who's had them will tell you they're very different from a regular sleeping dream. And it started to help me heal. And I had this spiritual experience, which I had no intention of having or didn't expect it to happen. And it really changed my life dramatically. And, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, what has she been doing? Like, where is she? Where has she been? It's like, well, I've been living a life.
They're
cryogenically frozen, waiting
for someone to pay us attention. Fuck you.
I moved to Spain. My next book is going to be about how I moved to Spain. Like, I thought I was going to leave. It just made me reevaluate, do I want to be an actress? Do I want to live in Los Angeles? Like, what do I really want my life to look like? And I discovered when I went to Spain, which was that I love Spain, but I'm not quite ready to just, you know, drink wine from 8:30 in the morning forward. And I really wanted to be, I know that my creative life is vital to me as a person. And so, and that I really wanted to have a family, that I really wanted to be a mom. The book is really this love letter to my dad in a way. Like, I didn't expect to be so broken by this experience. I mean, that may sound naive, but I really didn't.
No,
I was so thrown by how thrown I was,
yeah.
You know, that I truly felt adrift. Like, I don't know how to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't see, well, you've taken care of yourself for a bunch of years, you know,
right.
But it felt really disorienting and scared. So I really wanted to write it because I felt so isolated at the time. And I feel as though in our culture, we just don't like to talk about difficult things.
Yeah.
We don't like to talk about grief. We don't like to talk about challenge. People right. want, especially if you're in the public eye, people want you to be shiny and happy. And, right. you know, all of that stuff is, it's just only one part of the story. It's not reality. And it's not like a full human existence.
Well, grief is very isolating, I think. And one of the things, your book talks a lot about synchronicities and how mm-hmm. things have to fall apart sometimes to fall into place. I lost my sister, yeah. which most people know. My sister died of cancer 3 years ago. Yeah. And I felt felt similarly that it was, I felt so isolated, and Jody was with me the whole time, because you mm-hmm. feel like at times, like, nobody can understand what I'm yes. feeling and the hole that I feel.
Yes.
But also there's that part that's like, but it's also weirdly beautiful, because you're like, yes. I have this love. I am capable yes. of this amount of love. And somebody loved me this much that yes. even though I lost them, how lucky am I that I know what real love is and I know what loss is. There is beauty in death. There is beauty in grief, but we don't like to talk about that.
Yes. And it's such a large chunk of it, right? Yeah. It feels like I wanted people to not be afraid of that. Not yeah. that that's yeah. the only thing, but it's a huge part of existence. It's made me have such a deeper understanding of humanity and yeah. of
empathy.
The soul and empathy yeah. and a whole host of things that.
I mean, do you think that all of that sort of helped you as a mom?
Like, definitely.
Brought all
definitely.
Of that with you?
Definitely. And, you know, because of course I've thought to, you know, one in one of the dreams, I'm not going to cry talking about it.
No,
but
dreams are amazing, because people said after my sister died, they're like, has she visited you in a dream yet? And it hadn't happened. And when it finally did, I was like, oh, Yeah. The first time it ever did, I was like, holy shit, this is very different. But
yes,
it took
right?
a while. So like, please tell us.
I think it does though take a while. Yeah. I know that, I think that initially I'm a person that, you know, anybody that knows me would say, oh, well, Elisa's totally open to that stuff. She's seen psychics for years and is a very spiritual person, et cetera, which is 100% true. But when this happened, I felt like I was very afraid in a mm-hmm. way. And at a certain point, I realized that I was afraid if he came to me or I connected to him in some way, it really made it official that he was gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was this very distinct thing. If I feel like he's driving in the car with me right now, you know, he's actually gone, because he isn't physically in the car, you know? Right. And once I metabolize, I think that's part of the grief process, right? The age old stages of grief, the acceptance
yeah.
part where
little Cooper it takes Ross a, in there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Like, it takes a long time to get there. And I don't know, I feel that the spiritual sense that maybe this, they understand that you need to do some metabolizing of things before, like, it might be too much if they come, you know, like, I think there's a period of time that needs to happen. And
well, energy goes somewhere. And I think when you're in your body, it's contained. And I think that's the thing, is that when you leave that body, energy goes everywhere. So I like to think that my sister is everywhere, but it took a while to like, have her even find her energy and figure out where, how you can like connect, which is maybe the dreams. And by the way, I am not I don't really ever consider myself hippy dippy. I have talked to mediums and psychics since right. my sister passed. And I will say that, and I think I've said this on the show before, I was with my sister when she died. I was holding her hand and I saw her leave. Like I saw energy leave her body 100%, like colors yep. and sparkles. And I've talked to people since who have lost people who were with them. And I'm like, yes. wait, if you're with them, look for this. And they're like, I didn't even have to look. It was just there. So I think that's something. And I think that might be, you know, and I know mediums will say like, don't talk to a medium until like they're passed for a certain amount of time. Because they can't connect.
It takes a while to get your shit energetically back
in. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And somebody, you know, I have, as I said, I've talked to psychics for years.
I'm like 3 to 5 business days on a phone call, let alone like, you know,
exactly, right. You're like, hey,
give me like 30 to 60 days. I really need some time.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I can't even get you to respond to a text some days, so I don't know.
Yeah, so just, you're going to have to be patient.
Anyway, tell us about your dream. Like, was there one specifically that you were like, oh my gosh?
Yes. I mean, there were a couple that are in the book, but I don't know which one to say. The first one was very disorienting because I didn't, I was very, very grief stricken. I was in this moment in my living room and just, I couldn't sleep. And it was many days of not being able to sleep and, you know, looking at my life and going, why do I have this life? What matters in this life? And then I had to go on an audition, like a test for this show in the middle. It's also in the book. And I remember walking in, Jody, you will like get this, imagine this feeling. I walk in and they're all like, oh, like we're starting to see, like, we love you. And, you know, and there's the guy who's the lead on the show. And I was just looking at this guy and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? You know? And I'm like, he's a fucking comedian. Like, what is this like ill-fitting jersey he's wearing? Like, and I just was standing there and I was like, this is ridiculous what's happening. And then I kind of come to and they're like, so it's your line. Like, it's time for you to start. Oh, and I was like, right. You know, like,
I'm just judging everyone in this room.
I was just judging everyone.
Just literally having an existential crisis while I was in the room. Sorry.
Exactly. It was basically like, please don't hire me for this job.
Right. Yeah. You just walked in with like a face just looking around and they were like, oh.
Yes. They're like, she's maybe not so funny. And so that night I went home and I was just like, I just couldn't. I was just wandering around my house and trying to sleep and I can't sleep. And then I just knelt on my knees and I looked out the window and said, I have got to sleep. Like, please help me. Because also literally not sleeping is a recipe for insanity. As Jody and I know.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for disaster.
I can tell you some stories about not sleeping, but I wrote about those in my book. So let's
move on. I didn't sleep for days after my sister passed away. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah, and you start to like lose a sense of things. And then I just felt I was crying and I said, Dad, please help me. And I promise you, I felt this like a pressure on my chest, like a soft pressure, like a hand on my chest. And I just felt, go to sleep now. And I got up and I walked into my bedroom and I laid down and I went to sleep. And I woke up in quotes and I was just floating in this rowboat on this lake. And it was all very peaceful. And all I could hear is the lapping of the water. And there was no sound other than that. And I'm just seeing other people. I'm floating. At first, it was just me floating in this boat as I looked out. And then I looked to my right and my dad was in the boat with me. Aww. And he was sitting there. And we just looked at each other. And it was just this complete understanding of, we're going to have this communication now. Like, I don't know how to explain it, except that it was this very pure communication. And then I saw other people floating in boats. Everyone's wearing white, which I was like, come on. Yeah. Is everybody really wearing white? And this
really,
is
guys,
like
a fucking dress code?
Okay. Yeah. Is this for real? Is this like a heaven dress code? You know?
Right.
And, but I felt like, oh, this is this half-life place that we're in. And We didn't talk, but I could hear our voices. So meaning our mouths didn't move, but we could hear one another speak. And I said to him, I'm so lost. I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know how to go through this life. I don't know how to function. And then I looked at him and he reaches out to hold my arm to comfort me. And before he touched me, he just starts weeping and weeping. And that is not something my dad would do. My dad was, you know, an executive, like a Republican, very white guy, you know, this is not what he did.
He's not the touchy-feely floating in a boat wearing all white.
No.
Going like, that's what I am. Right.
Correct. They're coming back from the afterlife. And he just started weeping. And then I just heard him say, I don't remember feeling this much when I was alive. Oh, I feel so much now that I don't. And then all of a sudden I had this sense of, oh, we're supposed to help each other. Like, he doesn't know how to deal with where he is. And I don't, it was insane. And we stayed on this boat for, it could have been an instant. It felt like 10 years. Right. I don't even know. You know, there's no sense of time.
Right.
And we just stayed together. And every time he would reach out, he kept trying to physically, this breaks my heart when I think about it. He kept trying to physically touch me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he just stopped short every time and would start to cry. And then there was this last moment when he was really, really just like giving it his all to touch me. And I woke up and I was like, it felt like I was catapulted out of something. And I sat up and I was in my own bed and I was staring at the wall and I just screamed and it was very overwhelming. And then I feel like I didn't leave the house for like 2 months.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know.
Yeah. I remember when you went into hibernation and I remember there were a couple people that were like, is she okay? I was like, you guys just let, yes, she's fine.
Yeah.
She'll be better if you're not fucking haranguing all the time and just let her, like, she's okay. We're checking in, but give her, you know, and I think
you need that because you need to process your new life. Like death causes the people around them to have to reevaluate their life. Exactly. I think like you did. And by the way, the meeting in the boat makes me think of Rumi's I'll Meet You in the Field. I don't know if you know that poem.
Yes. But Rumi is like one of my, the book opens with a Rumi quote. So
but that's also like the thing I think is like knowing how to, you know, reconnect with your life. Well, by exactly what you're saying in the book, it's like, how do you realize that they're still around you? Like, again, energy goes somewhere.
Yes.
It goes.
And it's really painful, of course, at first. I don't mean to say, oh, don't be sad when someone dies because they're still here, you know.
Right. Like
it's still crying pretty much every day.
Right.
So
yeah.
We want to, it's, I think our natural instinct is like, oh God, it's so uncomfortable. Grief and pain and loss and tears are so uncomfortable for people.
Yes.
That like when you think about all the things that you often are told to say to comfort someone, it's usually not to comfort them, but to keep them quiet.
Yep.
Yes.
And to comfort you. And it's
that's exactly right.
Comforting means being like,
yes,
it's okay. You need to be all right. Instead of be comfortable in the pain and the loss, not comfortable in it, but allow yourself to feel it.
But allow it to feel it. That's exactly right. Most of the time it is to quiet someone instead of like, saying,
oh, no, there, don't cry. Don't cry.
Why
not?
I always tell my kids to cry. And whenever they bring up, you know, losing their aunt and they're like, I'm really sad. I'm like, that's okay. Me too. You can cry to me.
Yes.
You know, anytime. Yes. And it's hard to teach kids, I think, how to cope with loss. And, you know, and it's, I wonder if you have any, you know, advice or anything that you've shared about, you know, to your daughter, like, how are you teaching her to cope with loss?
Yes. So we have a very dear friend, you know, she, Scarlett was born after many years after my dad passed. And I had another psychic tell me that she was her, my dad is her like spirit guide. That's going to be for another episode. But she said, but we, this year in the pandemic, have dear friends who lost a child who was 9 in a very, very violent way. and very unexpected and very violent.
Oh God.
And personally, but it's horrific. And Scarlett only knew this boy via Zoom and like out the window of a car because of the pandemic, right? So this very dear friend of ours started a relationship with this woman who had this child, and they were, he was going to essentially be the, become the dad of this boy. Mm-hmm. When this happened, we had to, first of all, my husband and I were, it was a very dear friend of my husband's who then became a dear friend of mine, and Scarlett adores him, our daughter. So we had to figure out how to metabolize our own feelings about it.
Yep.
But then also to tell her, because he was supposed to come, they were going to come visit us. We were in Palm Desert, and they were going to stay in this guest house at the house where they could be at a distance, et cetera, because, you know, with school, you can't do the thing. Like, it was a whole host of criteria that we had to operate under. And they didn't come. And so we went from, we had to explain to her what was happening. Now, we didn't tell her the details of what happened to this boy, because it's not, she doesn't need to know that. But we had to talk about the grief part of it, you know, the part that this person is no longer here. And we had to say to her, this is why we are sad. And it's okay if you are sad. It's also okay if you don't feel sad, because you didn't know him that well. But I know you did know him, and you care about our friend who was going to be his dad. And so we had to just talk about it in this way that, and she said, okay, because, you know, we're crying and she knows something is wrong and we have to, you know, go to the services and do all this. And in COVID, it was just, it was awful. But basically how we talked to her about it is that, you know, when someone passes, they leave us, but we can also, you know, we can also talk to them mm-hmm. in nature. You can feel sad or not feel sad. And, you know, when she lost, this part is actually in the book. She, when my husband's father passed away several years ago, and Scarlett was maybe 3 or 4. And she said to me, I was taking her, it was over the summer, and she was going to like a preschool summer camp. Mm-hmm. And in the morning she got up and she was like, we have to go to BB and Billy's house. And I said, no, no, like we're not going there. They lived in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And we had a trip planned for like 6 weeks later or something. I said, no, that's later in the summer. It's later in the summer. And she said, no, we're going tomorrow. And I was like, we're not going tomorrow. Okay, I know you're excited. And she became adamant and really upset about it. Was like, I have to pack my bag. We're going tomorrow. And I was like, fuck it. Just pack your like.
Yeah, great. Well, like, feel better. Right.
Just keep it. It's gonna make you feel better, or we can keep it packed for 2 months. I don't care. Right. Like, just do it. Right. So she packs her little bag and leaves it, and then I take her to camp and I drop her off, and I'm driving home, and my husband calls me and says, "So my dad is in rush to the hospital, and we have to decide if we're gonna take him off machines or not." And I was like, "Say what?" Like, his dad had been sick for a couple of years, where at first they thought that he was going to pass quickly, and then he didn't, but he was at home and he was fine, and they had a full life, like they were living a life, and so there was nothing immediate that had happened. He had been, you know, going for several years, and by the time I picked her up a couple of hours later, he was gone. And so I had to say to her, so we're going to BB and Billy's tomorrow. And she was like, I told you that.
Oh God, she already told you that. Suitcase. Like, that's what
really?
It was.
She packed a fucking
psychic suitcase. Seriously. I want a psychic. I mean, not like that, but like.
Right. But seriously, it was a fucking psychic suitcase.
Yes. And so she was sort of, but you know, because they're so little. I think
they're connected.
Closer, yeah. They're connected, but then also they can't metabolize at all. So later, I said, you know, so we might be sad, and BB's going to be sad, and, you know, daddy will be sad, but we're okay. And we're going to go and support her and all these things. And she was okay with it. And then a few hours later, she just started bawling and said, I don't have any grandfathers. I don't have any grandfathers. And I went, I know, I'm sad. And then I'm crying. I'm like, I know.
There's that. Yeah. And it's, you know, I think that's, we all take that on the pain of your kids is the worst pain that you'll ever feel. It's not right. It's not yours. It's theirs. And it's the worst that you'll ever feel because you know you can't fix it.
You can't. You know? Yeah. Yes. We were talking about this. Yes. I came in this morning because my oldest daughter has been struggling, thinking about going back to school. She's vaccinated. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. now that she knows about like breakthrough cases and all that, she's really like terrified of getting it and giving it to the one, you know, the Lulu who can't be vaccinated. Right. Uh-huh. And we talked about the fact that, you know, she has such a different experience with death and loss and grief than most of her classmates because she at her age understands that someone you love can die.
Yes.
And get sick.
Leave and you.
Die.
Yep.
Right. Yep. And it was so hard like going through, you know, that while I had the kids, which is why I also took time to like just be by myself because it was like I couldn't even take care of myself when I lost my sister, let alone mm-hmm. try to explain it to them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's such a delicate balance of like explaining grief to your child and letting them feel. You did such a beautiful job, by the way, with that. Like I'm a therapist, so I just want to say like you did a beautiful job.
Thank you. I know it's a scary thing.
But, and you say, you said exactly what I say to my clients when they're dealing with grief, which is you can still talk to them and you should, you know, I talk to my sister all the time.
Yes. So then she's asked, you know, I had people listening are going to be like, so all Elisa Donovan does is talk to psychics all day long.
But you have to get your psychic suitcase ready. So it's okay.
Right, psychic suitcase ready.
And also, I'm like taking notes. I'm like, I have to ask Elisa who her psychics are. I want to know. Like,
I will pass them on for sure.
Guys, we're going on an adventure.
We're going on. Okay. Talk to a psychic. We're in. We're in for it.
And, you know, I lost my train of thought. Because I think
you talked to another psychic, I think is where you were going. Because
daughter.
About talking about her when they've passed out loud.
Yes. And so I always say to her, you know, if you want to talk to Grandpa Billy, which is my husband's dad, you can talk to him. Because she was like, so he's not here, but he's here. Mm-hmm. She would always say things like this. Aww. And now I kind of get it more. But I said, yes, he's always with us. You can talk to him in nature, etc. And then I had this medium who I spoke to, I have never really spoken to a medium prior to this woman, and she had offered this reading to me and it was extraordinary. And she said to me that my dad is my daughter's guardian angel, that he, and I had heard that before. My mom had said something like that to me, that she, my mom is, sidebar, talking about parents, my mom will say, like, she'll call me up and be like, oh, so I just want to tell you this quick thing, real quick. And then she'll drop some giant bomb that is like, everyone's dead and they're never going to see you later, you know? And she had said to me, I was driving from San Francisco to LA, and she's like, oh, I forgot to tell you. I talked to this psychic and she said to me that dad held Scarlett in his arms before she was born to you, and he's going to look after her. And then she's like, anywho, I gotta go. And I'm like driving on the 5, like almost on the road. So what? I had heard this before, what this woman said to me about, and she said, you know, your daughter is very connected to this stuff. And she said, just don't allow her to feel okay about that. And I said, oh, I do. And she just kept reiterating to me, let her, you know, you don't have to encourage it, or you can encourage it, but just allow it to be. So I said, she said she talks to him all the time, you know, and I said, oh, okay, like that didn't come as a surprise to me. So I said to her several days later, do you ever talk to Grandpa Jack? And she was drawing or doing something, and she stopped and turned and looked at me and like looked me in the eye to gauge why I was asking that.
Yeah.
And then turned back and went back to her writing and then looked back up again at me and said, sometimes. And I said, that's good. That's great. Mm-hmm. Like when? And she's like, I do. And I said, that's great. Like you can talk to him anytime. And he's always with us. And she was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know he is. I don't need to talk to you about it.
That crazy lady also.
I told you.
Right. She's like, yeah, I told you to pack a suitcase.
Right.
And
exactly.
I know
you're
I know.
When are you going to start listening? Yeah.
Right. So basically the moral of the story is when your daughter tells you to pack a suitcase, do it,
you pack a suitcase.
Right. You're like, well, I don't know what we're doing, but I'm okay. Yes.
Well, but and that's like the reverse where it's like, you know, we're saying, well, because I'm the mom and I said so, and your daughter's all like, no, dude, I'm the shit. And I said it has to happen. And it does. And I was right. So
this is partly why sometimes it's hard to parent her because I forget that she's nine. And this is just one of these right. things where then I suddenly expect, oh, she's like a grown up. So when she has a tantrum,
we all do that when we have kids.
Yes.
And it was interesting. I was at V's middle school orientation today and the other day, and they were talking about that, how the principal, who I love, and she was talking and she was like, look, here's the deal. Yes, your kids are growing up and mm-hmm. like they look like they're more mature. She's like, they have zero executive functioning skills.
Yes.
Like, so
yes, their brain really is not.
Because this is the age that kids really start to tank, because parents go, oh, well, you're starting to look like you've got it together. So go on.
Yeah.
And I do that. I'm like, oh my God, go. Like, you can figure this out. And then I'm like, they can't. They've been on this planet.
Right.
Like, you know, I've got t-shirts in my closet that are older than them. Like,
completely.
I don't know what they're doing.
So, yeah. The other day, my daughter said, this is a great juxtaposition. She's, talking to dead people. And then at the same time, she can't pick up her freaking socks. She can't pick up her shit. So she's like a trail of things around the house. And I said, Scarlett, we just need you to, you got to pick up after yourself. You pick up your things before we get in the shower. And she stood in the middle of the living room and she just said, I am not a magician. I'm like, what?
What?
I just asked you to pick up your socks and put your shoes in the hallway. No, she's like, I can't do it all. As if she
put upon. You're like, I am so sorry that I've tripped over your shit in the middle of the room. Pardon me. Yes.
My daughter could not get her new comforter on her bed the other day. My mom actually had sent her a comforter, which, shockingly, she liked. It was cute. And so she was trying to get it on her bed and she comes out and she's like half in tears. And I'm like, what is going on? And she's like, I can't get it to work. And I keep using my powers of deduction like you told me to, but I still can't get it to work. And I was like, when the fuck did I say use powers of deduction? I go, when did I say that? She goes, when we were in the grocery store and you were asking me to try to get things in the bag and I couldn't figure out how to open the bag. And you were like, and I gave up and you told me to keep trying and try it in different ways. My powers of deduction. And I was like, okay, but you're trying to make a top bunk and by yourself, which is kind of hard. And like, you brought, that's not really powers of deduction as much as you need another set of fucking hands.
But right.
I didn't even remember. I was like, well, I'm sorry. I turned you into a little Sherlock Holmes. Trying to make your fucking bed. Whoops.
But that's great. She's like, all right, I'm going to try to figure it out.
Well, I also had a moment where it's like, oh shit, she listens to me. I better be careful.
Well, and here's the funny thing is when you said that she stood in the middle and was like, I'm not a magician. I can't do it all. I'm like, oh my God, she's probably heard you say that. Because I know I've done that. I'm like, oh my God, I can't do everything. And then I will like watch the kids do it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Yes. In those moments when I just like, it's frustrating and you want to be like, oh, shut up, suck it up. Right. I'm doing just this, and this.
Right.
Yes.
And then they go like, oh my God, this little person is like, I'm just doing
He's the trying process. So hard. Oh, I know.
You know, and but I mean, let's be real. Sometimes they're not, but sometimes they are.
Yeah, sometimes they are. It's like a lot for their brains. And then I see her exhaustion where she's like, I am trying to manage all of the synapses in my brain are firing. I am trying to figure out how to just eat this grilled cheese, even if I don't want the grilled cheese. I am still thinking about what happened at school today.
I've got a lot going on.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
I still feel like that. So
I feel like that
Me
now.
Too.
You know,
I want a grilled cheese like really bad now.
You know what I need to do is pack my psychic suitcase, grab grilled cheese, and hit the road. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take my psychic suitcase right the hell out of here.
Put a grilled cheese in it.
It's like one of those old, it's like an old suitcase, right? Like, like the kind that like has the hard shells on the top.
Yes.
It might even be like sort of a pea green color. Ooh. It's definitely from the 60s, found at a vintage store.
Right.
That's on my
a little plaid like around the top, you know?
It's like that faux pea green leather. It's
And
it's got lining, the ruched lining in it.
Yep.
That's my psychic suitcase.
That's your psychic suitcase.
So thank you so much. I now have that. I'm going to put things in it. I don't know what, but things.
You never know.
Pack your.
I would definitely put a grilled cheese in there.
Right? Yes, and a fucking grilled cheese for sure.
And your ego.
Socks in the living room.
Yeah, and oh God, can you imagine?
Which is a suitcase full of socks. Yep.
God, that'd be amazing. Oh.
Well, Alisa, I am so glad that you got to come on the show.
Same.
This has been a beautiful conversation.
Too.
Thank you for, I love that you wrote this book and what you wrote about and the beauty.
Thank
the
you.
Beauty and the loss and the journey that is grief.
Yeah.
I have not been through that sort of grief myself. But I have been, I have watched.
Like you've certainly witnessed it firsthand.
I have
walked alongside it and my admiration for people that are living with that every day. I know it's not easy. You know, I know my mom has gone through it. Mm-hmm. She's lost her mom and her sister. And her family. And, you know, I just, there is a strength in it that mm-hmm. comes eventually, but there is a beauty sometimes in just admitting that like, yeah, this really hurts. And, you know, I think what you said was when your dad came to you and said, I didn't feel this much.
Yeah, when I was alive.
Amazing. And I think that's the goal for all of us, right? Like, I want to be able to feel all of the things. And sometimes
yes,
all the things means feeling the really icky ones too.
Yep.
So
yes. And that is exactly what one of my main points in writing this book and having it out there is that for people to feel, you know, people will ask, what's the, you know, journalists, like, what's the thing you want to tell mm-hmm. people that helped you? Or how do you go through, what's like the one bit of advice you would give? And truly it is the main thing that helped me to heal was to actually just sit in the pain of what I was going through.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it. Yep. Because it's so the idea of it is so overwhelming,
right,
that it feels like, oh, I'll never come back from that. This is so painful. I can't be in it. So I'm going to keep evading. But really the evading of it and the trying to skirt around and do all these things just prolongs what needs to happen.
Yes.
And that sitting with it, like sitting with the grief step by step is actually what helped me to heal and what helped me to move forward.
You cannot walk around grief. You have to walk through it.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Well,
And bring your psychic suitcase.
And bring your psychic
and suitcase. Definitely bring your suitcase.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know you've been traveling and it's been a crazy hectic thing and it's been a Monday. So
yeah,
it's been a Monday.
Where can people find you on the internet, social media?
And where can they buy your book?
Yes.
Also, I will be there. Sure.
So I'm at Red Donovan on Twitter and Instagram mm-hmm. and Facebook is Elisa Donovan with the blue check. They all are the verified checks. And then my website is elisa-donovan.com. And the book is available there. It's available at Barnes & Noble, at bookstores, on Amazon, anywhere that you buy books. And the audio book will be out September 7th that I'm super excited about.
And again, the book is called Wake Me When You Leave by Elisa Donovan. So go out and get that book, you guys. I'm really excited.
Having me, you guys. I adore you, Jody, and I'm so happy to meet you.
I'm so glad I got to meet you. And
I know, I'm sad it didn't happen in person.
It's, you know what, we had to do it the best way that we can, and that's all we can ever do.
Yes. If you want to find our podcast, you can find us on Instagram at Never Thought I'd Say This, as well as Twitter. You can also check out our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe. Never Thought I'd Say This. You can find me at Jody Sweeten on Instagram and Twitter.
You can find me at Thecelia Behar at Instagram and Twitter.
Yep. And remember, you guys, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Never Thought I'd Say This with Jody Sweeten and Celia Behar is an Audio Boom original.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.